This is Worms. This is Worms on your radio.
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Trigger Warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour. Why don't you do one the same time I'm doing it there?
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. Something about that, yeah. We alter your locus aureus by warning your synapses with rejuvenated weed waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Kelvin. Keep the same status out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Just
Paul even here.
Oh, I feel it.
Oh, my. What is that sound?
That's, Paul, I think you're going to have to come back.
I think that's Lou.
All right.
It sounded like the sound check again.
All right.
That's Lou. Lou's back to his onboard mic again.
Lou's back to his onboard mic.
We are having a wonderful evening here.
Because Jeremy and I got stuff to say, so why don't you both come back at the break or something. A teaching hospital.
There we go.
All right. Yeah. I was going to walk you through it, but I'm like, you know, everybody that is on the Fiends, once you tell them that, they should know that without him being told. And apparently Lou does, so... You there, Lou?
I'm here, and I have no idea why this thing keeps reverting to the onboard microphone.
Because people who design computers, especially Windows and Mac computers, don't want you to be able to go out of their little pool. They want you to stay in the pool and use things as designed and not reach your full potential by doing other things like Fiend Phone. So,
well, my experience with this pool tonight is it is the original gender neutral bathroom. This thing locked up on me like you wouldn't believe.
So that's why I just got back. Yeah. You've been a time traveler?
Something like that, yeah.
So I got a couple corrections from last night. I'm not supposed to be on this show. It's supposed to be you two, Lou and Jeremy, and this chap named Paul, who's a guest.
He's Paul.
Oh. Paul? That sounded horrible. Oh. Paul, just hang up. Just hang up, Paul. Just give it up. We'll talk to you during the break. Yep. All right. Is he gone? Can he hear us? Anyway, so I got a couple corrections from last night. One is when I was talking about the video that I did for my daughter and the fact that Roger Ebert had tweeted it, somebody tweeted today, is Roger Ebert a time traveler? And I didn't know what they meant, and then I figured out what they meant. This is kind of interesting. So my daughter died 10 years ago. I made that video 9 years ago. Ebert died a couple years ago, but if you look at the timestamp from YouTube on that video, it looks like Ebert tweeted it before the video was up, because the video has a later date by a couple years than his tweet. But the later date is wrong. I didn't mess around with anything. I certainly did not hack Roger Ebert's Twitter while he was alive and no one noticed. And he tweeted it, and about 20 or 30 people went to it right after he did and posted nice things on the YouTube video. The best thing I can figure out is, because I remember making that video like 9 years ago, I say in the video, today's date, I'm like really tired and burnt, like sad. I'm like, today's date is blah, blah, blah in the year, blah, blah, blah. My daughter died a year ago on blah, blah, blah. So she died 10 years ago. I made that video 9 years ago. And as far as I remember, I uploaded it as soon as I did it to that channel. And if you look at if you go back to the first comment on it, it says 8 years ago, which is probably means like, you know, 8 and 360 days ago, because I think it doesn't roll over to 9 years ago until the actual year has passed, and it hasn't. But what I think happened was I've had three different YouTube channels in my life. That was the first one. Then there was a second one. Then there was a third one. At some point, I merged them all. And I think that it changed the date of the video. Like, instead of saying it was uploaded you know, in 2007. It says it was uploaded in 2012 or 14. So Roger Ebert is not a time traveler. I did not monkey with anything. Computers are an interesting mix of science and voodoo, and YouTube is responsible for that discrepancy, not me. Any questions?
So what you really need to say is, YouTube was wrong.
YouTube was wrong. Thank you.
Thank you for doing it in that voice.
Yeah, I will for the next one, too, because that wasn't a I was wrong. That was an explanation. Now, here is an I was wrong. I was very wrong about something last night. Actually, I wasn't really wrong. But if you listen to the show, it sounds like I said something I didn't say. So we're talking about my old drummer from my band, Baby Opaque, Michael Barabé, who's an English professor at Penn State now. And he had the fortune to have been for about the past 20 years the English department, like, endowment that he existed there under was called the Paterno Chair. And he was it was endowed by Paterno and people who liked Paterno. What's his name? Joe?
Joe, yes.
Yeah, Joe Paterno. And
I only watch Anarchy Ball.
Yeah. So he wrote an article a year after the whole thing started with, who was the other guy? Who was the guy that's in prison?
Jerry Sandusky.
Who?
Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, so Jerry Sandusky was the guy who, did he ever actually even deny it, or what happened? Did you guys follow that?
From what I remember, he tried to deny it at first. Then his wife tried to cover for him by denying it as well.
By changing date on YouTube.
No, exactly. Sorry. I don't. I stopped following it after a while, but I don't recall. From what I remember, I think he continued to maintain his innocence through at least most of it.
Yeah, well, he's like 70 years old, I think, thereabouts, and he's serving like 60 to 90 years in prison.
Yes,
so,
yes, he is.
But the Joe Paterno allegedly witnessed some of Sandusky's child rape and turned a blind eye. There are many people who believe that Joe was innocent, and Joe didn't go to jail at prison. Joe actually... Didn't coach for Wisconsin? Well,
No, he didn't. No, he stayed at Penn State, and then he decided to retire and resign instead of continuing with more of the investigation, and then he ended up dying shortly thereafter.
Didn't he die at a football game because some football player ran into him?
No.
Or am I reading a cartoon or something? Okay,
I don't think so.
So I mentioned briefly this article that Michael Barabé wrote called Why I Resigned the Paterno Chair. Michael is still an English professor at Penn State, but he's...
Which is not an Ivy League school.
Right. It's a state college. I think they dissolved the Paterno Chair, and he is just there now as a tenured professor. But so I read the first couple lines of this article and then sidetracked myself, and I think we all... kind of sidetracked into like 20 different topics. And I read the first of it where he started out saying, like, I resigned the Paterno Chair. Do I have to even say why? And I stopped at that. And it sounds like I was saying that his article said, well, everyone knows Joe's guilty. I read the article later. The article says he is absolutely convinced Joe is not guilty. He's like, I know Joe. I know his wife. They're dear friends of mine. His kid was in my English class. I've had dinner at their house, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's, you know, and I kind of think Joe may be innocent, too. So I don't know. So
I mean, I knew there was accusations that he had witnessed stuff, but I thought the main thrust of it was just that he knew he was aware of the situation.
Oh,
and
yeah,
because this guy was his lifelong friend.
Right.
That there was he swept it under the rug.
There was never an accusation that Joe Paterno touched any.
No, no. Yeah, kids. I know that. But that he viewed it. I don't think it was ever even.
Article, this is my clarification. Barabé's article, and I'll link it again in tonight's show, absolutely says he believes that Paterno is innocent of even having known. So,
oh, okay.
there's a couple really funny things in this too, though. He talked about, like, you know, he was, Michael Berube was in Australia on vacation when this news broke, and he said, I read the free report, he said, I was in Sydney watching the coverage of the Sandusky trial on Australian news. I imagined fleeing to Antarctica because, just, you know, like, he was the Paterno chair. He knew that, like, people would try to connect him to it. He's like, yeah. It was big news, you know. So he said, I imagine fleeing to Antarctica only to be greeted by legions of penguins saying, good Lord, do you believe this Penn State mess? Oh. and then he said, then the report, basically the report the whole thing was based on was an independent auditor named Freya, F-R-E-E-H. So he said, I read the Freya report the morning it was released and proceeded to ignore every other news media outlet's request to comment. A producer for National Public Radio's All Things Considered called my English department office, my office at the Institute for Art and Humanities, my cell phone, and my home phone. For good measure, she emailed and tweeted me also.
Whoa.
That afternoon, I saw a cloud formation that pretty clearly seemed to be a smoke signal. Professor Berube, this is NPR. Please call us right this second. Radio, TV, news magazines, and newspapers called and wrote, but I had nothing to say that day and have had nothing to say until now. And this is a year late, and he wrote it, you know, on his terms in an educational blog. I have a lot of respect for that because most people are so, like, publicity whores that if, you know, some major, you know, radio show listened to on millions of people was trying to bang down your door to get a statement, they would give them one. But he was like, nope.
Well, sure, there's plenty of those people, but in this situation, how many people want to be tied to the head, you know?
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
But I'm pretty sure you did mention the guy was funny, and he's a pretty funny guy, the way he writes.
That's all I've got so far, but, I mean, that's all I got. That's my whole thing. It's just Michael Berube's article did not say he thought Paterno was guilty. He said he thought he was innocent, more or less. So there.
Well...
Yeah.
Thank you for your candor.
So I was wrong, and YouTube was wrong. We'll be back after this trip to the market, and maybe Paul can come on here, and maybe he's been wrong about something. Who knows?
You were wrong, Shell.
Worms.
Hillary Clinton smells like Tinkle, and she's a communist and a liar.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
This is some interesting stuff.
Teaching hospice stuff all night long.
Yeah, for real. Hey, Paul, until we can get the board app to check you out, just keep quiet for a bit.
sit in the corner and shut up, Paul.
Yeah, sit in the corner and shut up. Now, I do want to read a Facebook notification that I got earlier today, 10 hours ago. This is from Paul Gordon. It says, I don't want to jinx myself. May the drone gods be kind to me. But I am scheduled to be on Freedom Fiends tonight with Lou Fien. If anyone knows the phone number, email address, Facebook page, or Telegram account of the drone gods, please either share it with me or forward this message. Please don't drone me tonight.
Now, do you have that entire thread in front of you, Lou?
Yes, I do.
Could you possibly read my comment?
I'm going to go down to the second comment on there from Jeremy Hengler. Trying to sweet talk the gods? That's a droning.
Just call me Nostradamus.
Well, not only that, your next comment is probably a better chance of Lou getting droned. Perhaps I'll stay on standby and I'll give my it'll give me my chance to roll out my version of furries.
Yes, unfortunately, I didn't even get to do that because I had to show up to start.
Yeah. So, all right, are you a licensed furries dealer?
No, I don't deal in furries. I have my own. I bring to the table the Heisenbergler intentional privatized pestering operation system, or HIPPOs. So that's
wow, that's kind of neat.
Yes. So, well, it's a shame we can't get Paul adjusted, but hopefully we'll actually get him in here at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in a couple of minutes, we'll be going to market, and then we'll have an opportunity to get him sound checked and all this sort of stuff, and hopefully he won't sound horrible because, you know, like you said, this is a teaching hospice, and we do need to get it right. So, anyhow, let's see what we have here for stories to get started. This one was very interesting. This shows the coercive nature of the state and how elections are just slavery. Norwegian black metal artist elected to local office against his will.
What? Against his will? That?
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe he became a person, I'm trying to remember the constitutional term. Persons held to service or labor. But anyway, so elections by their very nature bring out shameless self-promotion from politicians, or it should be selfless shame promotion, from Hillary Clinton's constant touting of her own historic significance as a candidate to Donald Trump's egomaniacal ravings. What's her historic significance? Is it the fact that she's the first one to be called a serial killer before becoming president? I don't know. But anyhow, so anyway, many Americans could be forgiven for desiring more self-effacing office seekers. No, they can't. So Norway may offer a ray of hope for humanity in the small town of Kolbotn, Norwegian name, just outside of Oslo. Political neophyte and international black metal sensation, Norwegian name, founding member of the band Dark Throne, has been elected to the town council as an alternate representative, despite having run a campaign urging people not to vote for him. So it's kind of like about a third of the Libertarian Party.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you look at, I do not agree with using the political means as a way to get the message out, and I love Daryl W. Perry. You know, he's a great guy, but yeah, running for president, it just doesn't work for me. And I'm pretty sure he's one of these people that would say, no, don't vote for me because I don't want to be elected. I just want to get the message out, which I hope that's the case. I hope he doesn't want to put the ring of power on, but I don't think he does. But anyway, so this guy was like the Norwegian version of the LP and said, don't vote for me, don't vote for me. And the anarchist said, don't tell us what to do. And they voted for him. So in an interview with the music website, bunch of letters, Fenrir, Norwegian name, birth name, other Norwegian name, explained that he reluctantly accepted an offer from Norway's Liberal Party to stand in the local election, despite having absolutely no interest in winning office. Basically, they called and asked if I wanted to be on the list of backup representatives. He told a bunch of letters. I said, yeah, thinking I would be like 18th on the list. I wouldn't really have to do anything. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. More Freedom Fiends after this.
See, that's what happens when you try to help.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. and make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Somebody said something stupid on the internet, so I'm typing furiously to correct that.
Don't do it.
So.
Don't do it. Don't get sucked in. Just say no, Lou. Just say no.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. It's kind of like Bernie with the Democratic nomination. He thought he was out. He thought he could go retire at his third home, his lake house, and now they're probably going to call him back up. Nah.
No, they're kidding. Not calling him.
Yeah. So I wonder what Hillary knew about Bernie. And I wonder if her little episode is payback for trying to screw him out of the nomination.
Are we back on?
Yes, we are. We're on the air, Paul.
We are on the air. I am not a figment of anybody's. I did not hear the music. You know why? Because I have the GCN slider thing all the way down. That's why I did not hear the music.
We told you this, Paul.
Oh, God.
Amateurs.
But you can't take them anywhere.
I know. I didn't even dress up. I didn't even take a shower for this show. Although, briefly, I thought, wait a second. I got to take a shower. Like, wait a second. This is audio. I'm just in my underwear right now, and I feel good about that.
That is not something that the radio audience needed to hear.
My night just took a turn for the worse. So anyway, let's finish up the story, and then we're gonna introduce you and bring you back and talk about you and grill you and
all right, maybe, grill me,
and maybe keep you on too. So anyway,
let me talk more. That's nice. I appreciate it.
Yeah, quite possibly. So anyway, Paul, are you familiar with the story here? The Norwegian death metal guy.
I read this. I researched it. I actually got a college degree in this article. So yeah, I know this story.
Nice.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, brown noser.
I know. I went all out, man. I got it from ITT Tech, so I don't know if it's relevant anymore because I've heard they closed down. So it might not get any credentials for me. This story is awesome. People voted for apathy. How do you not love that? People actually voted for apathy.
Yeah, and total lack of experience. So yeah, he figured that he wasn't going to have to do anything. He figured he'd be like 18th down on the list or whatever. Just kind of like something put on his resume that he'd never have to actually show up. He figured that being apathetic and not having any experience would be sufficient to thwart his chances. But the general voting public did what they did best, and they went for apathetic, lack of experience.
Did they go for apathy, or did they go for, oh, he's a star, he's a celebrity? Did he get the celebrity vote? I didn't see that perspective in the article, but I wonder if that's what really happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
They love their death metal.
So I'm wondering if he's just going to be like a substitute teacher where he has to get up every morning at like 5 or 6 a.m. and call in to see if he has to go do some legislating or something like that. Maybe he'll have to show up and do a vote every now and again. Maybe he'll introduce a piece of legislation on one of those substitute days, and then he can come back like the next time he's covering for somebody and maybe push it towards a vote. I mean, who knows? But anyway, government's a waste of time, but...
They're going to suck him in, man. They're going to suck him right in. First, it starts with an absentee vote, and then it's like, you know, this isn't all that bad. I kind of like this. This is pretty good. This is better than drugs.
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm saying...
You must not be doing your drugs properly.
that's what seems to be happening to... How many people do you vote into office? You're like, we're going to change the system. We're going to tear this mother down. Hey, remember when I said that whole thing about tearing it down? No, don't do that, man. Because I'm getting a pension. So y'all don't mess with that. Does he get a pension? Do they have sweetheart deals over there in Norway or Finland?
Who knows? I think they have a vodka parachute or something like that. But anyway, Michael vodka says that if elected, his first act will be to burn the town to the ground. Then he and his cute cat will pee on the ashes because that's what death metal does.
I would vote for that guy. If he was running in my town, I would vote for that guy.
But he didn't want you to vote for him.
You're not going to vote for somebody to burn the town down? Come on. Well, how do you resist that?
Well, like,
there's not many things that'll get me out to vote.
But there's, well, if you burn the town down, there's going to be a whole heck of a lot of violations of you know, people's property rights. So, yeah. I kind of have a problem with that.
Not to mention the fire codes.
I'm just going for the entertainment.
I don't care about the fire codes.
I'm just going for the entertainment value on this. That's really all that matters here. I don't really care about principles right now. I care about the entertainment value. A dude that gets elected and burns the whole town down. Your town is going to be on the map. I'll tell you that. Well, it won't be on the map, but it'll be on the media map. It will no longer be on the map, but the media map it will be. And that's worth it. I mean, celebrity, that's what it's about, right?
Well, you know, you burn it well enough, you can have a huge hunking crater, and then you can make it a tourist attraction, so...
Yeah!
You might still be able to get a win out of that, actually, now that I think about it. See, look what you're making me do, Paul.
I know! It's a win-win!
You need to go back to your show. You're already compromising my principles in the first 5 minutes of being on. I don't like this.
Which show should I go back to?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's talk about Paul now.
Let's talk about Paul. You want to talk about me?
Yeah, we're going to keep you on for a couple minutes. Or we'll get rid of you and still talk about you.
That sounds like a much better plan, by the way.
So you are one of the hosts of Disassociation Nation, a show that I've been on a handful of times.
Yep, with Jeff Nizio, who goes by Niz.
Yep.
Yep. That is true. And I am on Disassociation Nation. That is correct. I do not deny that.
How long has that show been on? That's been on for probably a couple of years now, right?
Like 3 years. I've been on about a year, a little bit over a year.
Okay. And I believe the show started off, you were still, you and Niz were both mini status kind of constitution lickers.
Yeah. I had already crossed over, but I was not ready to admit that I had crossed over. I knew as soon as I actually came out and said that I am for no government that it would be a heavy price for me, and it was. But I kept my mouth shut for a while.
You're an in the closet anarchist.
I was an in the closet anarchist, although I call myself an ANCAPper now. I just go with anarchist.
So, what was the price that you paid for your principles?
Well, the price that I paid was I first of all, I was in the conservative movement, and I've done a lot of activist work. I've done web media, marketing, SEO for political folks and stuff along that line. And I was moving well up in the ranks. And when I officially came out, as it were, then suddenly all of my connections in D.C. dried up. And nobody really wanted to deal with me anymore. So that was professionally, I lost income immediately. And outside of that, I have a Christian community that I belong to. I guess you could say I still belong to it, but my status, my standing in that community has been significantly reduced because of the fact that, well, I don't believe that we are supposed to worship the state. It's kind of a deal breaker for
the Christians. The Christians are anti-Christian anarchists.
Well, that rejecting the state is. I will say that I have varying responses, and some are better than others. Some are, well, listen, man, I'm not saying you're outside of the faith, but you're heading in the wrong direction. And others are like, you're a heretic. Get thee behind thee, Satan. So I was doing a lot of things, really working on what we're calling kingdom standards, and with a group of folks. And I don't work with them anymore. It's not that I don't still love them and I don't still engage with them, but the relationships are a whole lot different than they were. And amongst my family, I've had family members that have said that I'm not going to be a good father anymore because I've rejected the state. And when you see family members, what do they always want to talk about? They want to talk about, so you really want to get rid of the state, Paul? Yes, I don't. Yes, I am not for murder and terrorism and kidnapping. And yeah, I'm not for all those things. I'm not for theft. So yeah, I want to get rid of the state. I apologize for that. Well, I don't really apologize, but it's hard to go. You guys know how hard it is to go to a family gathering when the family members get a whiff that you're one of those. And there's this like almost an intervention that happens where they want to gather around you and they think that somehow they're going to rescue you from yourself. And inevitably at some point you'll hear my roads in Somalia. And when you hear my roads in Somalia, you just roll your eyes and you just, I hardly go to family gatherings anymore.
Wow.
That was the short answer.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Bringing you down, man. I think anybody that's listening to this that has made the crossover, whatever stage you're at, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that it's kind of like we are foreigners. We're actually not the foreigners. No, we are the true people of liberty that live in an occupied land. And we stick out like a sore thumb. We do not conform. We do not comply. And when we don't conform and we don't comply, it makes everybody else. It's kind of like, you know, when your friend quits smoking and you still smoke and you're like, yeah, well, he's still a jerk for quitting smoking. And then, oh, well, he's just a self-righteous jerk for quitting smoking. You have to somehow demonize him to justify the fact that you still smoke.
Yeah, it's called cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. And it's also it's more than cognitive dissonance. It's also I am not going to face the fact that I am accepting an immoral belief system. So therefore, I have to invalidate you so that I don't have to face my immorality. That I'm standing up and I am advocating for a system that how many people do you think the United States of America has murdered this year? The police have murdered about 1,900 some. How many did American bombs murder this year? How many people did America, the United States of America, the flag that you're waving, murder this year? That's the question.
I don't wave a flag.
Well, no, you don't.
Me either.
But no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the folks that are waving the flag. And
thinking with their flags instead of their brains. We'll be right back after this trip to the market. Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Settle down, Spaz.
Hey!
That was my nickname in elementary school.
Spaz. So anyway, we are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, Jeremy, and we have our special guest tonight, Paul Gordon.
I like being a special guest.
You're very special.
Thank you.
And you're also on a couple other shows. You have another one called Full Auto. Is that correct?
Yep, Full Auto, yes.
Let's hear about that.
Full Auto is actually, I'm thinking of changing the it's going to be called, it's Full Auto, but it is self-defense in occupied land. And Full Auto is actually intended to be an outreach show where we never say end the government. We never say voting is bad, but we always say the solution to combat tyranny is not voting, and it's not the government, it's not politics, it's having the power to say no. So we talk primarily guns, and we talk what's going on in the gun world, whether it's a new gun or whether it's how to do gun self-defense in an effective way, gun laws. We have different segments. We have defense assault, which highlights how somebody might be attacking your right to own guns right now. And then we have Blast from the Past, this last issue or last episode, which aired last Tuesday at 6 p.m. We covered that 1994 crime bill, which was quite a leviathan, a bipartisan supported bill that put an entire paramilitary force out in the field with 100,000 new cops. And it did three strikes and you're out. And it also did the assault weapons ban. So we covered that. And then we have TAC Tech, where we talk about, well, how to best prepare for we're not quite talking prepper level. We're talking just being aware, just being prepared. So the last couple of episodes, we talked about networking, how to be part of an effective network of folks that you can rely on if something happens. And then all our shows end with a happy ending, because I believe in happy endings. So we always have a happy ending.
Do you provide the happy ending yourself, Paul?
I have been known to provide the I provide the happy ending myself for every single show. And it's happy endings. Use full protection. And that's what we go with.
Cool. Now let's hear about State of Wake.
State of Wake is, well, I really don't know fully what State of Wake is yet. In essence, right now, it's the hub where I put all my stuff. It's where you'll find Disassociation Nation there. You'll find Full Auto. I do other things. I'm working on something called New Shooting Self-Defense, which will be videos highlighting how guns have been used in a heroic way to rescue folks. And I'm working on another program called Voluntaria Sutra. And sutras are these short little aphorisms that the Kama Sutra, although it won't be like the Kama Sutra, but the Kama Sutra is essentially a collection of little sutras. So this will be sutras about voluntarism.
So the Kama Sutra is properly punctuated, correct?
Yes, it is. I'm going to say it's properly punctuated. Why not?
Is it the Oxford Kama Sutra?
No, it's that's yeah, you're a horrible human being, but I'm actually the Voluntaria Sutra. I hope I can get some of the more. I used to be a poet, and I guess once a poet, always a poet. But I was very much into, for a long period of time, I ran a poetry magazine for about 5 years called Logodedalus, and I haven't had any access for that part of my life, that the art side, the. I was very much into postmodern poetry, so I'm thinking that with Voluntaria Sutra, I could do like Voluntaria's type poetic type art things.
Nice. And you're a bit of a journalist, isn't that your normal day job, your stock and trade?
Yes, I run Lehigh Valley Volunteer right now, just slowly building up. I hear the music coming in, so. And I was the editor of the Tioga Freedomist. I'm not right now. That's another story. I don't know if you want to talk about that on the next break. But I still run the operations for the Tioga Freedomist.
Cool. And when we come back from this trip to the market and the news of weather and all of that stuff, we're going to hear about Paul's transformation, because I actually played a part in it, and it's a rather interesting story. So we'll be back.
News held that.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Jeremy, and we have our special guest tonight.
Special guest!
No, seriously, don't be a spaz. our special guest, Paul Gordon. He's from Disassociation Nation and Full Auto, and you can find his stuff at stateofwake.com, is that?
Stateofwake.com. That's how you say it.
All righty. So anyway,
the commercial version.
Okay. So before we went to break, I was doing the teaser about your transformation coming over to the side of liberty. And you've given a little bit of your background, being a former conservative. And matter of fact, you were a card-carrying commie for a while too, right?
Well, very briefly, when I was about 18 or 19, I entertained the commie world very briefly.
So what was it like living through the Red Scare?
It was awesome! Actually, there was a girl involved, so, you know, you've got to give me a little bit of a slack there. There was a girl involved, and she was a commie. So if she was a commie, I was a commie. But my being a commie didn't help me fulfill the mission, so to speak. So then I ended being a commie. Wow, dead silence. That's not allowed. That's did I stun you guys with my story with
unrequited? Yeah, that's the S word we'll go with. Stunned.
Unrequited commie love. You're no response to that.
I've done a lot of things in my life, but I've never done that, so I don't even know where to go with that.
You know, unless you've experienced unrequited commie love, you really can't give an opinion on it.
It's I think that's how that works.
Then I guess I'm going to have to abstain then.
You're going to. You can't. Oh, no, go ahead, give an opinion. I can invalidate it.
Who's playing with bottle caps over there?
Not me. I am bottle cap free.
Oh, that was my ashtray. I apologize.
Very.
It's glass.
You're worse than Hitler. Go ahead.
I've been told, like, you know.
I know. Probably many times in a day. I understand.
By you, usually. So.
Yes. You're not the worst human being in there ever, though.
All right, Paul. So let's go back to your transformation, coming over to full blown liberty and becoming a Christian anarchist. What was your big hang up? What was your big thing that you're like, you know what, this real freedom sounds really good, but there's just this one last little bit of statism that I can't let go of. What was it?
Well, it wasn't quite like that. It wasn't like I was looking for anarchy or looking. I was looking for liberty, and I was looking for the rock solid foundation of liberty, which I believe was the Bill of Rights. And then I was like, okay, well, it's, you know, the Bill of Rights is just a document. I got to look a little bit deeper. And
hold on for a second. You say that you thought the Bill of Rights was about liberty. What was your thinking at that time about that?
I thought that the Bill of Rights represented the core values of liberty. And so I understood that most people in America recognize the Bill of Rights as having that type of status. So that was always my foundation of truth that I could try to talk to people about liberty through. And I've always looked at liberty as being a shadow of the kingdom of God. And when I could preach liberty, if you will, I'm kind of preaching the shadow of the kingdom of God. And that was my central motivation at the time. So I actually, and Lou, you know, it was actually conversations with you on the Beast of Face. Can I say the beast of face on radio? Is that allowed?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Oh, good. Oh, good. And
we'll cuss dump it in post-production.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. So you, I was preaching my Bill of Rights stuff, and you were coming at me with, you know, the magic parchment and, you know, the ridiculousness of rule of law. Rule of law is a myth.
Hang on. Coming at you with the magic parchment is not meaning using the magic parchment as an argument.
Nor was he whipping me with or beating me with the magic parchment. Let's make that clear.
It's mocking the magic parchment.
Yes, absolutely. So, yes, absolutely. What you were saying is essentially that's a magic parchment. That's what you've made it magic, but it has no real magic, and it's a myth.
Do you believe in magic?
I did, although I didn't know it was magic. But I had these conversations with you, Lou, and I seem to remember that I was more civil. But you seem to think that I was not as civil as I thought I was.
More civil than civil?
Not right. Horrible.
I thought we had good conversations. And you know, Lou, actually, you're one of, when I remember my conversations with you, it helps to, not that I always remember them. I'm not stalking you yet. But I'm working on it. I haven't gotten a degree in loose talking. I am working on it. But when I think of your conversations, if you had just said to me, well, you're just a status troll, and you're just worshiping that flag, and you just want people to die, or, you know, the other things that we anarchists tend to say at times, I probably would have shut you down. But you were
who's
very
this
patient
wee, white
with
man?
Me.
You had a squirrel in your trousers?
Yes, I do. Yes. Actually, I had a conversation with somebody about this whole we thing, and I'm not going to worry about whether I say we or not. Unless I'm talking about the state or government, I think it's implied when I say we. I'm talking about a general, non-defined blob of we. The people who generally fit into the category of anarchists. I'm not speaking for the anarchist community, but there are a... There is this general we don't work as one. Jeremy and I, we're not joined at the anarchist hip. When I say anarchist and I speak for anarchist, I'm not speaking for, well, I never speak, but that was,
it was just a question. You seem mighty defensive, Paul.
Well actually, it was actually a conversation that I had today, and it's anarchists have this tendency to pounce on words and want you to define every nuance and every meaning down to the minutiae, even if it's not particularly relevant to the conversation. I'm not saying you did that, Jeremy. I know you were joking, but I just ran with it anyway. But but the way that you spoke with me, Lou, you were very patient, and you just pricked a little. You pricked and pricked and pricked, and
we're gonna have to censor later.
Are we? Is that okay? Well, fantastic.
No. It's cool.
Okay,
It's very interesting that you bring that up, because
the little prick.
Wow, we're definitely gonna have to censor. First of all, that is communist propaganda, but we'll move on.
Well, I have a response for that when we go to commercial, or I'll have to type in the Fiend Phone chat. But anyway, so I try to be friendly with people in the beginning. There's just sometimes where somebody just brings it out of me because they just do something so bleeding status. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, and they hit like logical fallacy level 11, something like that.
Right.
And matter of fact, it happened earlier today with somebody that was trying to tell me that the troops are the reason that ich kann kein Deutsch sprechen jetzt. They're the reason that
you speak German. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I kind of had to destroy his argument, and he wouldn't let stupidity go. So with him, I had a little bit of difficulty maintaining that composure. But the one thing that I have to give you the credit for, because like when a lot of people lash out against the conflicting ideas that are being thrown at them, they have a tendency to get, like you were saying, anarchists have a tendency to get, they get nasty, and they're like, well, move to Somalia or my roads or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Right.
And And to your credit, you did not do that. You had an actual intellectual curiosity about it. As an example, if I refer to cops as the enemy occupation force, most people would say, well, that's just wrong. They're just doing their jobs. And they don't really take into account what goes along with just doing their jobs. Because what cops essentially are, well, not essentially are, they exactly are, is government thugs. They're hired muscle for the politicians. Here's a simple way of looking at it. If the mayor or the city council person, you know, like let's say the death metal guy from Norway got called up for the day and he goes and tells the chief of police, hey, that citizen over there, go arrest him. Make something up if you have to. What do you think's going to happen? The chief of police, because he wants to keep his job, he's going to send one of his lackeys out there to go arrest him. And the lackey, if he wants to keep his job, is going to go do that arresting. And they're going to make something up if they have to. Because, one, they're going to keep their job, but two, they might get a favor down the road. Let me finish here. Now, by the same token, if a citizen goes to the chief of police and says, hey, go arrest that politician. Now, here's what he did. Do you think that politician is getting arrested?
Only if the chief of police is allied with another power base within the coercive enterprise that you're talking about. And then, possibly.
So in other words, if he has a really strong rabbi that's going to cover his butt.
Yes, exactly. And also, if death metal guy goes to the chief of police and death metal guy's got no juice, and somebody else has juice and wants to get rid of death metal guy, then the chief of police will suddenly become a righteous man and turn death metal guy in. So there's always that factor. There's always, but at the end of the day, what it really comes down to is it's a coercive enterprise that is run by individuals who use the coercive enterprise to their own end.
Okay, so let's get back at. Get back to your story. We've got about 30 seconds here, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this up, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk about it. One of your big hang-ups was you had this belief in the church canons of constitutionalism and in the religion of the state was the rule of law. And the whole notion behind the rule of law, and I know I've talked about this a few times on the air here, the idea that the rule of law is something different from the rule of men. The idea that the law itself is some sort of entity, like it's like something that came down with Moses on stone tablets. And we'll be back after this trip to the market, and you could tell us about your conversion on that belief, Paul.
Worms. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Woof. Hey, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, joined by Jeremy and our very special guest tonight, Paul.
Can I do my special guest thing again? Or you told me not
no,
to be spazzy.
Please don't. Yeah, please don't be spazzy.
Let it go, Paul. Disappointing.
That's very disappointing. It's a shtick. It's a thing. I do it. I don't know. Okay, whatever. Fine.
Okay, you can do it after the show. So okay. Anyway, back to our questions here. So the question that I prefaced before we went to break was the rule of law, and people envision the law to be some separate entity of its own, not the creation of just idiot politicians coming up with idiotic stuff. So tell us how you got past the rule of law as being like one of your sticking points or one of your false beliefs.
Well, yeah, rule of law was absolutely, again, before I started talking to you, Lou, I didn't even entertain the thought of a world without government. It was a non-issue. I didn't even think about it. As I was talking to you, it kept coming back to, I couldn't say that this wasn't true. I couldn't say that wasn't true. But my rule of law, I never went the Morodes route. I don't think I ever went the Morodes route. But I did go my rule of laws. And I happened to be studying Christian history at the time. And I was actually studying Christian history for a lot of reasons, but one of the primary reasons was I was actually trying to understand where the Bill of Rights came from. And a lot of the rise of the notion of the individual superseding the state, of the individual being able to choose the life that they wanted to lead and the state getting out of the disciple-making business, a lot of that happens, especially during the Reformation. A guy named William Tyndale, to me, was the height of this expression. And Tyndale is where a lot of our quote-unquote, sorry about that. I apologize. I apologize even to my progeny for that. My progeny from 300 years from now.
Fondling fathers, okay.
The fondling fathers, exactly. And so I was thinking, okay, I'm on to something here. And in the course of my investigations, and a fair amount of my investigations were targeted at you, Lou, because I was going to put you in your place. I was going to come back with that rock-solid evidence that rule of law exists outside of me. That man's rule of law, this rule of law governance, totally existed outside of me, and therefore that's why government needed to exist. And what I found in the course of my study with Lysander Spooner's No Treason, listening to some Ben Stone, what I discovered was the Constitution of the United States was a compromise, the way that I look at it. It was a recognition.
It was a coup.
It was, well, that too, but I'm not getting into that. It was a recognition of the reality of power at the time, and it was written in a way that at the time the governing didn't have as much power over the governed as they do now. So the Constitution was, dudes, we're going to leave you alone. No, nothing here, nothing to worry about. Loophole. And what's interesting to me is I actually come from a postmodern background. I know Wittgenstein. I know the picture theory of language. I know that language is a ghost language between two people who don't have an agreement of standards. And yet, with that knowledge, I somehow didn't connect the dots. And at that point, rule of law fell apart for me. And I realized that, no, it's always arbitrary. It's always, there is no rule of law. There is only rule of power. That's my, I say this thing all the time. No rule of law, only rule of power.
Yeah, the argument that I specifically make is that it's the rule of men, and insignificant men at that.
Well, so, and they rule in a finite period of time, and every ruling is addressing a finite issue, and the next ruling might not necessarily be why don't people ask themselves, when you have a critical quote unquote constitutional issue, and you have legal people debating which way the Supreme Court is going to rule? Then at some point you got to think, oh, this is totally arbitrary. Yeah. It's arbitrary, folks. If it was not arbitrary, you wouldn't need a Supreme Court. It would be self-evident.
Yes, exactly. It's subject to the interpretation of the interpreters. And we'll be back. More Freedom Fiends coming up.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiend phone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Jeremy and our guest for tonight, Paul Gordon.
Why didn't you say special guest?
You're not special anymore.
You didn't want to bait me.
Your specialness is worn off.
You didn't want to bait me because you knew it was coming. I understand.
I'm a master of it. Right. So anyway, we're going to go over and start talking about some news items here. And this is an article. It's from August 31st of 2016. It's from alloutdoor.com. And the title of it is, "The Democrats Will Never Confiscate Your Guns. Instead, you'll hand them over." And Paul, you sent this to me, and it, as I was reading through it, it's like, okay, yeah, I see where he's going there. And very interesting article. So if you'd like to share some of your thoughts from it or give a synopsis of it.
Yeah, it's very thought-provoking. And for people who really don't like, want to look at truth that is difficult, you probably don't want to read this article because you're probably going to want to hunt this guy down and beat him to an ever-loving. For telling you the truth, right. Basically, what we said in the last thing was that the only rule of law is the rule of power. And this really illustrates that perfectly. I have here I'm gonna just read if it's okay, what I think are the real key parts of this. It's a very long. Well, for Facebook attention, folks, it's a very long article. He says here, the bitter truth is this: there will be no confiscation shock troops for you and your buddies to shoot back at. And we will discover too late that the rights defenders' fantasies of one crystal clear moment when it's time for everyone to rise up as one and take it all back has been the establishment's biggest ally and freedom's deadliest enemy. And I think this one is, I've actually in a couple of my shows, my co-host Dimitri and I on Full Auto, we've kind of talked about this a little. Why do you think they've let you have guns for this long? Because those guns have given you a false sense of security and kept you from doing something truly dangerous, like mass organizing to pull all your money out of the big banks and to vote out the incumbents. The fact is,
when you say vote out the incumbents, you mean trade in the current politicians for new politicians of equal or lesser value?
Yes, and you know when those politicians get into the candy shop, they're going to be able to vote to shut down the candy shop. No, they won't. That's not true. The fact is, most guys who have the kind of hardware suitable for a Civil War 2.0 have been shopping on GunBroker or Arms List and have filled out FFL paperwork like law-abiding citizens. I seriously doubt there's enough firepower totally hidden from the NSA to sustain any kind of real rebellion. And it has this really chilling part here. It says, do you think Child Protective Services is going to let your children live in a house with potentially dangerous firearms? No way. Your kids will get picked up at school and taken into custody, and a social worker will show up at your doors with the cops. Only when a thorough search has been conducted and authorities are completely satisfied that your property is 100% gun-free will they let you see your little ones again. And you know what it says in the article? You're not going to fire at the cops. You're not going to shoot at the cops because you want your kids back. I for me, this article demonstrates even what voting is, that the powers that be use some level of liberty to keep you from taking the final steps to actually end the coercive enterprise. I call it a coercive enterprise, which is to make it obsolete. As long as we in the very general sense of human beings who happen to live in this land that this coercive enterprise quote unquote controls, as long as we are not able to live off of the grid, so to speak, to not rely on the state systems, to be able to do commerce among one another without being tracked by the state, they have you by the proverbial short. I don't know if I can finish that sentence, so I won't. but they have you. And the real power is the power to say no, and you can't say no by yourself. And if the decision to say no comes at a flashpoint, nobody's going to be there. Nobody's going to show up. The decision to say no has to be an everyday decision among a group of people that gets larger and larger and demonstrates to other people that, wow, I can live, I can thrive, I can prosper in a world without a coercive enterprise, without a big daddy guiding me and telling me what to do.
Nice. Yeah, it's really amazing. People don't think about this, but so much is tied in together as far as information wise, not just the NSA, but like the Social Security Administration and the IRS. A lot of that is jammed in to for like the Obamacare and stuff. And as a matter of fact, with some of the things, like some of the means tested programs, they're not even requiring people to fill out the means test forms anymore. They're just pulling the information over from the tax records.
Yeah, the power that they have, the magic beasts that run the coercive enterprise, it's much. I don't want to go to the other extreme. They're not omniscient, all knowing, all powerful beings. They're not infallible. They're not unbeatable, so to speak. But if you think that it's going to be a flashpoint, if you think that people are going to rally because Bob's house is being raided and they're going to take his guns, you're wrong. If you look at what happened in New Hampshire, there was a groan with the Mad Ag there in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is what I meant. Who unilaterally just decided to change the definition of assault weapons, and they essentially banned the future sale of AR-15s. Now, if there was a network of folks who were really resistant, who were really prepared to say no, the shops would have stayed open and would have just continued to sell the AR-15s.
No.
Well, no, they couldn't do it now because they didn't have a support system to do it. I don't blame them for not doing
it
now.
But it wouldn't even be wise to do it openly in the first place.
Well, sure it would.
Even if you had that.
The only law is the law that, and I understand, we understand that law is a lie, but law is basically a negotiation of power. But the only law is actually the law that's enforceable. FDR passed all these price controls and sent out all these folks to try to make sure that you were doing the right price. And at first, he was having some success. But after a while, people got sick of it. And they started beating these folks up. And the program ended. And the program ended because it was unenforceable. Because people just weren't going to put up with it.
Well, yeah, but that's my point. Go ahead, Lou.
The implementation of law is what they can get away with, the enforcement and the imposing it. So to do a direct gun ban or basically anything else, it's a whole boiling frogs thing. They can't go right out and just say, all right, we're imposing tyranny. It starts, tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Right, yeah,
mark your calendars, yeah. And you'll get a notification on your weather app, like I get notifications for hurricanes down in Florida. But, it is done incrementally, and for the most part, it is just making it impossible to own a gun legally. If you look at the different exclusions for who can own firearms now, like felons are excluded, certain mental health patients, things like that, folks that are deemed incompetent. As you start growing the list of people that can't own a firearm to include medical cannabis users, as you start limiting those numbers and you start adding to those limitations, that's how you get the numbers down. And then also, if there are new fees and taxes and requirements that go along with gun ownership, it's not banning guns. It's for your safety. And chances are the NRA, which is probably one of the biggest gun-grabbing groups out there, will support it because law and order.
Did you just say the NRA is a gun grabber? I think I know why you're saying that, but for the peanut crunching crowd, could you clarify?
Oh, because they support what they believe to be law and order, which is actually violations of rights.
Right. And I think that goes to the heart of, I think we all understand, I said we again, Jeremy, we all understand. I'm weeing all over the place.
that sounds like a totally different issue, and maybe you should see a doctor.
All right, get a drop cloth.
Yeah. I'm wearing adult diapers, it's fine. So what we understand that there's something fundamentally wrong about creating a system that empowers individuals to make arbitrary decisions over the lives of others and to coercively penalize folks who haven't done any harm to others. But so long as the vast majority of people don't, so long as they believe in the rule of law, what this guy says is absolutely true. There's going to be no great rebellion, no effective great rebellion. It's going to continue to be the slow trickle.
Yeah, because specifically with the situation that he's mentioning, he talks about CPS. Something that he doesn't mention, which I kind of led into, when healthcare is run through the IRS and Social Security Administration, all that other stuff, when all this stuff is intertwined, imagine this. You own a gun. Maybe it's not registered because of reasons. But you get that letter saying, you have this unregistered firearm that you haven't turned in yet. Because you have not complied with the law, you're not eligible for your health care. So your health care benefits will be suspended until you come into compliance. Oh, by the way, what's that disease your daughter just got diagnosed with? How many people do you think are going to just roll over in that situation? When that type of leverage is
used, most of them,
and not just because they've moved their line in the sand so many times, they're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and that's real leverage there. We'll be back. Wow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
I never thought I'd say bad bacon, but yeah, it's like
bad bacon. Bad bacon.
If it's bad bacon, salty. It's not bacon.
Yeah, it was extremely salty. It's like it was salted bacon cured in even more salt.
If it's bad bacon, it's not bacon.
Yeah, but anyway, that was Army rations back in the late 80s. So, and those rations were probably from somewhere in the 60s. Or older, but anyhow.
Is this the Redemption Act? Should we be talking about bad bacon and the Redemption Act? Or
that's the we're going to throw this whole thing off the rails part. So, yeah, Redemption in the Third Act. Paul, where do you see the future going? What do you see it taking for people to wake up and disassociate from the nation? And it
nice.
What do you see it taking for people to become open-minded like you were and start really examining their thoughts and their beliefs?
I think the number of people that are open to that are very small. I think most people are not pursuing an understanding of what is or entertaining the possibility of what could be. I think most people just want to exist within their comfort zone. What we need to do is the general we in all
you're
of
so
the
defensive
very,
now listen to you
in all the variegated, you know, I'm gonna somehow have the word we digitally removed from my mouth if that's possible. But what all of us need to do who love liberty is we need to try to reach the explorers, the people who are open to thinking about the new, what could be, what isn't, but what could be. And as we find those explorers, as more and more folks along that line wake up, we have to connect to one another where we live. Right, like in here in Lehigh Valley, I'm trying to connect to folks. I'm using a newspaper to try to find people, if you will. And I want to live liberty with them. Wherever possible, I try to do business with fellow folks of liberty. And if we can show the other folks around us that we can live liberty and prosper, and as things get worse and worse for the state is getting more and more desperate, they have to get more and more control. This is the way a closed system always works. And we unfortunate humans that live on this land, we live in a closed system. That the people will come to us when they see something useful, when they see proof of concept. We don't have a real proof of concept yet. So I'd say proof of concept. It really goes into agorism. And Jeremy, you're doing a lot of this stuff already.
Yes.
Pushing the envelope. I was segueing to you. That's how I did that. You see that? That was nice.
Jeremy, do you have anything to throw in?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what what Paul just said is that I already kind of try to do that, and I try to encourage other people too, because the whole idea is, you know, people worry about the taking up guns and stuff. Yeah, I agree that I don't see most of these people actually doing it, and that's actually a good thing, because that'll just end badly for everybody. It never goes
right.
Well. So
revolution.
I would much rather people just not comply en masse and not have to, you know, not bother taking up arms, because if enough people do it, there's nothing they can do about it. They're outnumbered by like 300 to 1 or more.
I'd want to clarify, like, you know, they can Lou was talking about what they could do with your health care. They can also do it with your credit report. But if you have alternatives, if you can do business outside the market, if you can get health care outside of the system, then the power that they have over you is considerably less.
Yes.
This guy that wrote this article, I don't think he could even envision that, because he's still operating well within the parameters of the coercive enterprise.
Yeah, I see two different ways of getting people to that place. I think that there are a number of examples of living liberty out there. Just to get away from the idea of central planning, that you have to have somebody being in charge and saying, okay, this is how this is going to do, a board of directors. Who's the board of directors for the internet itself? That is, the internet is probably the greatest example of spontaneous order. Now, the other thing is, as the state gets worse, people need solutions for it, and people will go to agorism, black and gray markets, and everything else. So I really think that solving problems, getting around the state, is going to be a solution right there. That would be another proof of concept, showing people that, yes, you can do this on your own. And because of the way things are going, you have to do it on your own.
I want to say real quick, it's been an honor and a privilege to be on the Freedom Fiends. I am a first-time caller, long-time fan. I'm a genuine fan. This is my favorite podcast. Listen to it every morning.
Well, thanks for coming on. And